Welcome to the ZBA meeting for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We need to do attendance. Ron is here. Bill's here. Boyd is here. Judith is here. Gail has been excused. And Tony is on Zoom. So I would just, for the audience that's here, I'd just like to explain a little bit about how our meetings proceed. The applicant will present all the information that they have. After the applicant is finished with his presentation, the board will ask questions of the applicant. After that, we will open up the meeting for the audience, and the audience, the people here at present, will be able, who are speaking in favor of the application, will speak. The people who wish to speak against it then will speak, and then we will go to the Zoom meeting, and we will follow the same procedure with the Zoom meeting. People on Zoom who are in favor of this application can speak. People on Zoom who are against the application can speak. And then after we've had all testimony, the board will close the public hearing. And once the public hearing is closed, there's no more evidence that has entered into the record. The board will deliberate the five variance criteria and will issue their decision tonight. So with that, I'll ask Mr. Logan if he would be so kind as to come and tell us how we can help you.
Well,
you're welcome. You're welcome to pull a chair if you want to sit at the table, or you can sit there, whichever you prefer. Okay, thank you.
I'll stand here if that's okay, Madam Chair.
Okay, absolutely.
Sure. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. For the record, my name is Chad Brannon. I'm a civil engineer and principal owner with Fieldstone Land Consultants, and I'll be representing London Bridge South Incorporated and Diamond Cove Holdings LLC this evening with the variance applications that we have before you. With me tonight is Jim Logan, who is the owner of the properties that were before you tonight to talk about. The proposal that we have and that we're seeking on this project consists of an elderly housing development. That development will take place over tax map parcels 40528, 40529, and 40530. The properties are all situated off of High Street. They're actually positioned on the south side of High Street, and they have physical addresses of 438, 466, and 476. And certainly High Street is also on New Hampshire Route 27. The total acreage of the property, in the properties, I should say, is approximately 166 acres. So it's a very large tract of land. And the development that we're proposing has a project name of the Farms of Candia. And again, it's an elderly housing project. It's a uniquely configured development that seeks to provide much needed housing while providing considerable standards, value, and conservation to the residents and the community. The project will place roughly 70% or 116 acres of land into protected open space. The development has been positioned to preserve rural character and many of the natural features. It will provide an agricultural dimension and will create a community with site amenities and features that values the land and lifestyle of a rural setting. I will say that I've been working on this project with Mr. Logan for a long time. Better part of a couple of years, I think, off and on. And a lot of thought has gone into, how to best develop this property. And I want to state that because I don't come before boards often and am able to say this. I mean, there's been a lot of really good thought and consideration put into this development that's sensitive to the surroundings in respects a lot of the land features, and we look forward to talking about that a little bit this evening. So with that, what I'd like to touch on before I get into the request is Mr. Logan actually put together a narrative, the Farms of Candia narrative that we submitted with the application. I just want to touch on some of those points because I think it really speaks to, you know, his passion and his vision, you know, for this project in a lot of ways. So the name Farms of Candia really comes from the history of these three properties. The Stewart Goat Farm, which is at 476 High Street, was an old raw goat milk farm, and you know, many of you may recall that. I'm not a resident in towns, but I'm just touching on that. The Bowman Tree Farm was at 438, which used to have a sawmill out in the back and also a horse barn and several acres of pasture. And then at 466 was the Holmes Flower Garden, which most recently sold products at the striking, kind of that newly built structure right out on High Street. It's kind of a really nice architectural structure. So the fact that the three properties, you know, had farm, you know, some form of farms in the past is, you know, really what came to comprise of the name Farms of Candia. The design goals for this project are outlined within that narrative as well, and there's essentially there's four main elements that you know are that drive the design goals. One is to keep a sizable amount of land in conservation. Again, currently the plan contemplates about 70% or 116 acres, which will largely be contiguous open space, maintaining a rural character along High Street and, you know, respecting the open pastures and the nice timber woodland in the back. And we can touch on that in more detail as we go. The second one is to place housing units back from High Street, up on plateaus, you know, that will minimize the their visibility from, you know, the main road, and thus not really change the visual rural scape along, you know, High Street. Third is to add an agricultural dimension, which is unique, by expanding and upgrading some of the current pastures, most of which can be seen from High Street. So maintaining those will, again, maintain that visual you know, presence along the road. And then finally, to keep the development largely away from existing, you know, houses and existing, you know, development, really creating, you know, a nice community internal on the land, respecting buffers and separation to the perimeter, and again, maintaining, you know, a lot of the pastures and such. There's also a building preservation, you know, part of this, which consists of reusing, you know, some of the existing structures, which speaks again to kind of maintaining some of that history and rural component with the project. So the, for example, the Stewart House and barn at 476 High Street, the plan is to try to renovate and preserve that old house that has had a presence along High Street since 1805. Maintaining that will, in large part, respect the history and really that rural, you know, character along that section. It's one of the oldest homes in town. It is only about 20 feet from the highway. I think the building, you know, inspector mentioned that depending on what we're doing with that structure, we may need additional relief. We completely, you know, understand.
Is it the yellow house?
It's the yellow house. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I should have touched on that. We completely understand that. Those plans would be developed, you know, if we're successful, you know, this evening in moving that project forward. And if we had to come back, certainly we would, you know, respectfully do so, you know, under a different application. But we're just not there yet. But the goal is to maintain that and really preserve that, you know, that aesthetic. The plan is also to reuse and utilize the existing horse barn. That would be made available as an amenity to this 55 and older development, which is, you know, another one of those unique, you know, kind of amenities and features that I think hopefully would really contribute to the property and to the community. market research suggests that this would be attractive, you know, to a lot of, you know, a lot of buyers. And so the goal is to try to maintain those features as well. And certainly if you're going to maintain the horse barn, that's part of the reason why we want to maintain the pastures. And so that kind of just speaks to it. The 438 High Street, which is the Bowman House, would be repurposed as a home. It's included on the plan as one of the units. And then the barn that sits behind it would also be converted into another home, kind of maintaining that, you know, that New England, you know, look where you have those existing architecture maintained along the, you know, the streetscape. And so I think that, you know, I personally think that's a great plan, and we hope that the board would consider that as well. 466, which is the Holmes House, which is kind of the house in the middle here, in this location here. The plan is to convert that into the clubhouse for this development. And so again, repurposing, you know, the existing structure. And the interesting part about this structure is the gentleman that used to live there was very, you know, had great carpentry skills. So there's a lot of nice outbuildings that surround the home. There's a nice kind of garden area, which the vision is to have like a community garden, and then there's a pool that would be repurposed into a, you know, a community pool. So there's a lot of site amenities that would be, you know, centrally located within the development that we think would utilize a lot of that in existing infrastructure, repurpose it, but would create a great, you know, setting in a project with a lot of amenities, you know, for the community that we're looking to create here. And then, of course, we want to touch on the conservation. Conserving the land behind the development is some of the, you know, highest land in town. When we initially started looking at this property and we walked the property, before we sat down with Mr. Logan and talked about conceptual plans, I could see that somebody might want to build a road, you know, to get up into this area because there's some nice vistas and scenic areas. But it is really beautiful, mature woods with some trails. And so Mr. Logan, rather than looking to extend the development into that area, has chosen to try to create that development in the, you know, kind of the lower central area and then preserve, you know, these beautiful woodland area to the north. There's a lot of really nice trails that navigate through the property, and so the goal is to maintain those as site amenities and, again, you know, maintain the pastures and, you know, the Bowman Forest. The goal is to maintain as many stone walls as possible and really to respect a lot of the really nice land features that are on this property. And not only are there stone walls, but there are a couple cattleways that run north to south, and the thought is to utilize those as like a trail conduit to get to the open space area in the back, and it really would just respect a lot of those land features. I wanted to touch on, you know, this primarily because this is a very unique, you know, it is a unique project in that it's not the typical development where you're trying to cluster everything as close to possible to a road, you know, reduce the cost and maximize the yield. There's a lot of respect and thought put into this project. And that's really what's touched on in the last piece of this summary that Mr. Logan put together, which is the, you know, kind of the layout. We've generated a lot of concept plans for this project to create, you know, a nice layout that doesn't have the homes right up on the roadway. It's not row housing. Create some dimension, some setback and respects, you know, the buffers, the wetlands, the sensitive features, you know, on this property. And we hope that you can see that represented on the project. If you take a look at the development, basically what we have is a primary horseshoe road that would start, you know, on High Street, and then wrap around and come back through and connect to High Street. There is an existing fire pond along High Street that we do plan on upgrading as requested by the fire chief in his letter. But we'd have a loop road here that really parallels the topography. The roadway would follow the topography, again, kind of respecting the land features. The homes have been positioned, far enough away from the roadway where you really won't be able to see them from High Street. They're trying to be tucked up on the property, just kind of off, over the crest of the first hill, if you will. And then off of this primary loop road, we have one dead-end cul-de-sac road that comes back and, essentially takes advantage of, the backside of the pasture land where, a lot of these homes would have a nice setting looking over that pasture. And then we have one interior road that would just connect to the clubhouse and that existing driveway that goes out to High Street. We plan on gating that just because that one existing driveway doesn't have great site distance, but it would be a good emergency access road if ever needed. And so we do plan on maintaining that and, and gating that. And that's...
Is that the Bowman one that you're talking about that doesn't have great site distance? Because I noticed one is coming out of Charlie's and the other one is in the middle of... which would have been the... Seward's property.
Yeah, so...
So which one are you referring to? Is it Bowman's that doesn't have the site distance?
It's the middle
site
one. Distance? Is that Bowman's?
Yeah.
No, the middle one's Holmes.
No. It's Holmes. Yeah, okay. The middle one's Holmes, so that's okay. The one that'll be gated. The okay. Other two have been positioned to meet state, requirements for site distance and turning and such. And so that would require DOT permitting, certainly.
Yes.
But that's a great question because we were very, that was one of the things we focused on initially was making sure that, these curb cuts would have, great site distance and make sure there's no safety issues along the highway. And so that's just a brief overview of, the project. There is 51 units proposed, the density calculations come out to 52 units. It is a concept, so depending on how the project moves forward, that could go up or down depending on, the layout and some of the comments that we receive along the way, but it could never exceed 52 units. We do have one unit that we're showing just taking access off of Baker Road. There was some comments in the building inspector's letter that addressed, kind of the conditions that we would have to meet there. We understand that and we would work with that. We're not seeking any relief for that, this evening. So it would either have to be part of the project, in order to meet, I think, some of the standards he's talking about. And then definitely there would be approval required through the selectmen for utilizing the Class 6 road. What we were trying to do there is really offer some diversity, just different. Maybe there's somebody that doesn't want to, they want to be part of the community, but they want to be, on the outskirts and detached. And this is a really nice, building area here, respectful of buffers and wetlands and such. And that's really the goal here. We're proposing two wetland crossings with this project. One is an existing crossing here. We would just have to upgrade that because obviously we're constructing a road, not a woods road, and so that we would be in that same location as an existing impact. And then there's one crossing in the center here. We're not seeking any relief or anything as it pertains to that because we really have to address some of the other items this evening as it pertains to street standards and things like that. It has a direct impact on what those wetland or buffer impacts would be down the road. So we're trying to take a methodical process here and talk about, a few of the requests that we have before you this evening.
I'm new to this crossing wetlands.
Yeah.
Do you do drainage or something that keeps the water moving the way it is now, or what's the abatement issue?
Yeah, so...
wetland or crossing like that.
Yeah, so this project would require, obviously, full site plan review through the planning board. I believe the town's engineer is still Stantec. We would go through a review with them. And there's also a state permit. The New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services has an alteration of terrain permit, and they deal with water quality standards. And so we would have stormwater mitigation built into the project. We just can't design all those features until we get through, you know, some of the requests that we have tonight, because, you know, just for example, one of the items we're seeking relief on is roadway width. We're trying to reduce the impact while still providing for a safe project. If we're not successful, then the roadway is going to be wider and that impacts are going to be more. It's linear as it relates to that. So in order to go to that next step for design, we need to work through a few of the questions this evening.
And the area of the development, just help me understand, this dotted line represents what?
That's a primary trail.
Okay.
There are other trails through here, but that's kind of just a primary trail.
Is that existing?
There is an existing trail, yes.
There.
Yes.
Okay. And then these are all going to be paved, mm-hmm. the roads you put in?
They would be paved, yeah.
Okay. Except this is classic too.
Correct. Okay.
And the houses, the yellow house, the other car house, those are all be restored to some kind of condition that would be used by the community then? So that's the idea?
That's correct. Yep, that is the goal. And you can see just by, you know, where those units are situated and where our units start.
Which is the yellow house? Just so I got it right.
The yellow house is right here. It's right on the right-of-way line. I know it's a large scale because it shows the whole property.
Right. And this is the one with the gray barn and the house next to it.
That's up here.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Chadwick, I noticed that you had a boundaries around this. Were you the house that, or the property that's proposed by Baker Road, were you planning on subdividing that off, or were you just going to leave that? Is that going to be part of the development? Because
yeah.
I noticed it had notations for
areas and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we've considered subdividing that off. If we did that, we would need to come back to this board for relief. And so I think, you know, correctly so, the building inspector kind of outlined, you know, what the options would be with that property. If we don't subdivide it off, the limited common area, so the area that would be exclusive to that home,
mm-hmm.
would probably just be that kind of blue line area.
Okay.
But nothing, you know, no decision the board makes tonight would be, you know, locking in that plan, because we're only seeking relief for...
Yeah, it has nothing to do with... It's just the issues of lighting and of two stories.
Two stories and some of the roadway standards. 100%. Yep.
This conservation land in fact, is that going to be a formal conservation easement or just land in conservation open to the residents of this?
I'm not sure that's been determined yet.
Yeah, we haven't got to that.
Haven't got that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
But either way, it's protected because we're using.
How would you access that land other than through the development?
From Baker Road.
Yeah, so.
From Baker Road, but obviously there's wetlands you'd have to cross no matter where you go.
Yeah,
there's some trails.
There's trails throughout. I mean, we haven't mapped all the trails. There's great trails throughout the property. But, I mean, the open space, at least, you know, at this time, is really intended for the benefit of the residents. And so they're all going to access that internally.
Right.
And
right.
So I just wondered
if it's open to other
that's a good question.
People in town.
Right, would the rest of the town be able to use the trails if they come in through one of the roads or whatever? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't got to that point at all, you know, kind of down the road, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great question.
I think it's important to note that part of Baker Road is closed. I think between Charlie's property and there were four properties where Baker Road was closed from... I'm trying to think of that house that has goats or some of their horses up on High Street going from Charlie's towards High Street. There are four properties between those houses that Baker Road is closed. So that means it is not a is not a legal road. The property goes from the center line into either to each abutter. So
okay. Are you speaking about, excuse me, like after it makes the turn and starts going east-west?
No.
But you, when you, like you go Baker like Road and Baker, yeah. Behind Charlie Bowman's property, starting at Charlie's property, going east, I think.
Oh, okay.
That there are four properties,
yeah.
Charlie's and the next three properties, where Baker Road was closed. And it's I don't remember exactly what time. So you can get on Baker Road from South Road,
right.
But it's only open. It's subject to gates and bars. Well, it doesn't exist behind those four properties. And I don't know why they did that, but it I think it's important to note that it is not there. It does not exist.
Sure. Right, and it's also for all practical purposes closed as you head west. From the Bowman's property too, because there's trees down and you know you could. I mean, 20 years ago, I tried driving through there, and it was getting overgrown with trees and stuff. So Baker Road might have been that right angle, you know, road at one time, but that the piece that's further south, the east-west piece, that's been kind of closed for a long time.
Well, if it hasn't been maintained, but it might still exist as a legal
as
road,
a legal thing. Yeah, right,
not
right.
Subject to gates and bars, but that section between Bowman's and I'm trying to think of the name of the house up there, but there are four, I'm pretty sure it's four properties,
right.
and I know that you could probably find that information.
So some guy dropped a bunch of boulders in there too now, so, you know, like you can't drive up Bay Road anymore.
Yeah,
so that was one of the four
houses
that
And I don't think we're not looking at utilizing any portion of that. But that's
okay.
A good point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay.
So I'm happy to continue if you think it's good time to do that, Madam Chair.
Well, is anybody in the board have any questions that they want to ask?
Not so far.
So why don't you explain the variances that you're requesting?
Sure. Okay. We're before you this evening requesting three variances from the zoning ordinance to accomplish the desired goals and objectives for this project that we, you know, just went over. The first variance is from Article 5, Section 5.06.14 of the ordinance regarding the maximum building height in an elderly housing project. The second variance is from Article 5, Section 5.0618 of the ordinance regarding design standards for roads, access drives, and, you know, basically parking, you know, lots and such. And then the third variance is from Section 5.0620, and that pertains to lighting design. And so those are the three variances that we're requesting. I will say the request under the road section has a number of design items that we're requesting, but I think, you know, as I go through it, you know, it'll be very clear and concise, you know, the requests that we're looking for. And I say that because the regulation as it reads today says that you have to design elderly housing projects under the zoning, says you have to design elderly housing projects to meet the subdivision and site plan regulations. And because there's a blanket statement that says that, we have to request, you know, relief from those design standards here. And we actually have to request it at the planning level as well, because we'll be seeking waivers. And at that level, it'll be reviewed by the town engineer as well. But what I really want to get across this evening is we're proposing a very safe, reasonable project. We're just looking, it's a private road system, not public roads. Has no chance of ever being public roads because we're not creating a right-of-way and things like that. And so we're looking for reductions. I was the design engineer on the other elderly housing project in town. Regulations were different back then. We were only requesting relief from the planning board at the time. But we sought all the same relief for that project, and we were successful in getting, you know, that approved by the town engineer. And I say that not because that has any bearing tonight, but just wanted to really put on the record that these are safe and reasonable requests. It's a 55 and older development. We're just trying to create a great community with the least amount of impacts as possible.
Okay.
So why don't you start with the first variance, which is the height, believe the height, and explain that to us, what you're requesting.
So the first variance is, again, from Section 5.0614 of the Zoning Ordinance regarding the maximum building height in an elderly housing project. This section states that all buildings shall be single-story above grade in height. So the first variance test is the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And within the submission, we touched on the criteria, but we are requesting a variance from Section 5.0614 to allow for two-story housing options as part of this development. The current market for elderly housing projects frequently offers two-story housing styles, and it is common to request this, from prospective buyers. The real estate market has gone through a fundamental shift where buyers are increasingly focused on smaller footprints because they're more affordable and more energy efficient, frankly. And so allowing for this variation in building design will not unduly violate the basic objective of the regulation, as all of the proposed floor plans will contemplate ADA accessibility and primary functions on, you know, the first floor, meaning a master bedroom will be on all building footprints on the first floor, a kitchen, a living room, a laundry room. Any primary function will be on the first floor. The only items that you'll see on the second floor, and I'll go through a number of floor plan options, would be, you know, that second bedroom or a study, you know, den, you know, something like that. And often a guest bathroom would be upstairs as well. So it's important to state this because we believe granting the variance will not threaten the health, safety, or welfare of the general public, nor will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood, which is really the test, or injure the public rights. And for these reasons, we do believe that the variance is not contrary to the public interest. And if you're okay, Madam Chair, I'll move on to the next
Item. Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay. So one and two are often very similar because number two pertains to the spirit of the ordinance and how it's observed. So we believe the two-story option would allow for effective marketing of the project while still meeting the spirit and intent of the ordinance. The two-story option would meet all of the other restrictions of the elderly housing, including the two-bedroom limitation. Two-story options would offer a diversity in housing while providing for some architectural variation within the development. I mean, if we offer one, just, you know, one-story option, you end up, you know, kind of with that repetitive look, and so the variety does help the internal aesthetics as well. As I mentioned in the first part, the units will all be ADA adaptable with master bedroom, kitchen, living room, laundry, and, you know, those are essentially all the primary services on the first floor. We believe providing such a building layout observes the spirit and intent of the ordinance. Allowing for a second story option will not, violate the objective of the ordinance, in our opinion. The third prong, or the third criteria, is substantial justice is done. We believe substantial justice is done by granting this variance because it allows for a variety of architectural options while still honoring the intent of the regulation. There is no public gain from requiring one-story homes in a private development. And we believe that our client would actually, to the contrary, experience a loss with the denial of this variance, as the homes would not provide, or the options would not provide, you know, as much of a marketable, consideration to prospective buyers. And the development would not be as attractive potentially to, you know, those buyers. And since the loss to our client with a denial would outweigh the gain to the public, we believe substantial justice would be done by granting this variance. The next criteria pertains to the values of surrounding properties, and quite simply, we don't believe there's any evidence that would suggest that a one-story home versus a two-story home would have any impact on, you know, the neighboring, property values. And, on the contrary, it is our experience that new developments such as the one that we're proposing, can have a positive impact on surrounding property values, especially when we're talking about this much conservation and, maintaining the rural character and buffering and such. So we think that, we certainly address that criteria. And the last one pertains to the hardship criteria. So literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship owing to the special conditions of the property that distinguish it from other properties in the area. And part A is no fair and substantial relationship exists between the general public purpose of the ordinance provision and the specific application of that provision to the property. We believe the variance as requested is, to allow the construction of two-story dwellings in a private elderly housing, development, and denial of this variance would result in, an unreasonable, financial hardship to our client, as it would limit really the marketability of the project with no measurable gain to the town or the general public. The purpose of requiring one-story homes in elderly developments, and we run into this across really, New England and all of these style projects, the purpose is to make sure that you're providing one-story living. And we are still addressing that, with this project and with the design of, the buildings architecturally. And so we are still, meeting the intent for less people with less mobility. The standard is still met, therefore, with the two-story designs, as the two-story plans will still provide for that first floor living with all primary services, on that first floor. Because of this, there's really no fair or substantial relationship that exists between the general public purpose of the ordinance provision and the specific application of that provision to the property, as the dwelling units will meet the spirit and intent of the ordinance, will be ADA adaptable, and, will, in our opinion, meet the, the intent and goals of this very regulation. Moving on, the proposed use is a reasonable one. Certainly, we believe the proposed use of two-story dwellings is reasonable, as it is allowed in other residential developments and has been allowed in other elderly housing developments, even within this community. As I stated, I was the design engineer of record for the other project here in town. Although there's not many two-story options or buildings in the, that other development, there are a handful. And, people got to pick that floor plan. And so they chose that was the home that they wanted for
this one.
Pineview, yeah. Or at the time it was Candia Crossing.
Going to have it, these be really similar look to what you put up there?
Similar, New England tile architecture, but this layout is much less like row.
Yeah.
The driveways are different depths, and really there's a more of a diversity of lots and positioning, that's built into this. This property just has a lot more options and, characteristics that our client's trying to preserve. So it is different in many ways, but similar in that people, in our opinion, people should have that right as long as the intent of the regulation.
Question, you said it's ready to be, it's adaptable to ADA. Could you define that?
Sure. So what that means is the bathroom doorways are, the doorways are designed to be the 3 foot wide versus the, 2'8". The framing is blocked so that you can add the hand, rails necessary and such in the bathrooms. It's very common in these types of developments to set it up that way because you don't know, you know, who's going to be, you know, buying it, even if it's second time, or as you grow, you know, elderly there, you know, you may, your need may increase. So those are just features that are built into the plan.
Couple of questions. Are you building all of these units as spec units, or are they going to be built as they're sold and people come in?
Yeah, that's a great...
Have you, I mean, do we know that yet?
We really don't know that yet, but what we do know is there's going to be, you know, basically covenants and standards that these units have to follow. For example, you know, the architectural elements would have to be similar to, you know, to what we're presenting, you know, to the planning board, because they're the ones that really review that standard. And then, you know, the developer always has the right to maybe sell a unit to a builder, or sometimes people come in, you know, with their own builder, and they say, hey, I'd like to buy this lot. This is my builder. This is my plan. And the developer can, you know, the owner can approve that. So we're not looking to restrict that, because that flexibility.
Will people own the lots?
It's a condominium style development. Okay. So it's going to be one lot. They'll have a limit. It's called limited common areas around each mm-hmm. unit, so that they own the rights to that land. So somebody can't, you know, set a lawn chair in their backyard.
I guess the other question, as far as a two-story type situation, are the stairwells built such that if somebody wanted to put in a chairlift up one side, that the stairwells are wide enough and on a straight line, so that would in fact work?
Yeah,
I mean, that seems like a reasonable thing to do.
So we're looking into things like that. I mean, we've even looked into, you know, what elevators cost. I mean, they're not that expensive. $25,000. Right.
Obviously not. But the chairlift things are pretty simple, fold out of the way.
And I think those, I mean, a standard nice, you know, wide, you know, stairway would accommodate that pretty readily.
Right.
Yeah. They have a good retrofit system for those.
Yeah, those systems are built to be placed in a normal width stairway.
Yeah.
And still
but
be
you
able to
need
get around it.
Straight stairways and not something that
actually,
goes up. And
I mean, it can.
They do make
them
turn corners.
Yeah, they
do.
They have some to bend, too.
But,
you know?
Yeah, they
because
do.
A straight stairway isn't that safe either. You know, it's nice
yeah.
to have a bend.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
You know, we'll look into stuff like
okay.
that. And just to comment on what he was saying earlier, you know, I mean, I think that our goal is, you know, not to have this cookie cutter, you know, thing. I mean, you can go to that one in Auburn, and yeah, so they varied things, but they built like, you know, 15 houses all the same. Then they decided to change in the next section as a different style.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think we'd like to make it feel a bit more organic, just like you do driving down the road. You know, you got one guy who built a house in the 1980s and 1990s, it changed a bit, and, you know, each one's different. I mean, there'll be some commonality, and you know, it won't be quite that diverse, but I think that we'd like to see some of that. You know, whether it's different colors or different architecture, different builders. So we're not like going to turn the project over to like a Chinberg type builder, you know, where some guy goes in and blasts out 50 houses in like 12 months.
Yeah.
So we'll take our time and sort of, you know, try to bring a bit more character to it, I think.
Do you have a time frame that you hope to put this whole thing together in?
Well, I mean, we'd
I mean,
like
are we
to
looking
get started
at 5
soon.
Years of build out over 5 years, or
maybe not five, but I mean,
or three,
four,
or
you know,
whatever.
Four is feasible.
Okay.
Right? Mr. Logan, could I ask a question?
Yeah.
Will you have final say over the design of the homes that are on the property, or if it's sold to a developer, he gets to do whatever?
No, I mean, I
you will
anticipate
you will maintain
keeping control
the,
over that,
okay.
and I'll make sure that
so that
it
meets
your
our
vision. Aesthetic, you know, sense of things, you know.
Okay.
And if you'd like to see what that is, come out and visit the Holmes house. We've been decorating that, fixing up the whole thing, and you know, it's pretty impressive place. Yeah.
There would be some kind of condo or association fees to maintain the common areas.
Yes, there would.
Yeah.
This would be, there'd be, and that would all be part of our submission to the planning board.
Yeah, that's all planning.
Yeah.
All right, so do you want to do the next?
I'm happy to do this however you'd like.
Keep going.
Right. Keep going.
So the next variance request is from Article 5, Section 5.06.18, and it's obviously of the zoning ordinance, pertains to roadways, access drives, and such. And it's really primarily the roadways and access drives that we're talking about here. This project proposes, you know, and this is just kind of an introductory, you know, to that section, but we're proposing, you know, an elderly housing style project, and we're looking to create a nice rural setting. And so when you think about, you know, rural settings, think about the roadways that currently exist within town, whether it's a dirt road or a paved road. Typically, the wider you pave something, the wider you make something, the faster people drive. That's not the setting that we're looking for here. And so from an engineering standpoint, how do you address traffic calming in design? And that's really what we're talking about tonight, is we want to incorporate elements that'll help maintain a nice community setting. We want the roadway to be narrow but safe. We want, you know, the curbing to be a different material. It's a little bit easier to put in, and it's, you know, and it's proven to be robust in New England. We want the geometry of the roadway to be a little bit, you know, tighter. This isn't a highway. Like, a lot of the road design standards in the subdivision regulations are set up for design speeds of, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour, you know, 35 to 50 miles an hour. We don't want any of those speeds here. We want this to be a nice, tight, you know, community setting. And so we're asking for some reduction on the horizontal geometry, the vertical geometry, and then we're asking for a little bit of relief on the slope of the roadway. And the reason why we're asking for relief on that is because when you come off of High Street, we don't want to cut a valley into the existing topography. We want to kind of skirt that topography, respect the land, and create something that looks like it belongs. And so we're looking to go just a slightly steeper than, you know, what the existing grade is. And I say all this, like, this is very uncommon for us to request design standard relief at the zoning board. But I want to caveat that by saying, you know, your regulations were changed, so we have to do this. But I want to caveat that by saying we have to, again, an approval tonight from this board isn't a carte blanche approval. We have to go through Stantec's review, their design engineers. You know, we have to go through the planning board, and then we ultimately go through DOT and the state. And so safety is definitely part of what we're proposing. I just want there to be some assurance, and I want to stress that this evening in our presentation.
So how would we do that tonight? Would we grant relief from that particular section of the zoning ordinance subject to further approval of your design standards that you submit to Stantec? To the planning board.
You could do that if you'd like. You know, you certainly could add a condition like that. The reality is we have to do that anyways, because when we submit the site plan, we have to meet the site plan and subdivision regulations. But what happened is when, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree with this, but when the town changed the elderly housing zoning ordinance and put all the power at the zoning board level, it says under the regulation that we have to design projects to meet all site plan and subdivision regulations. So we have to seek relief from both boards in order to get the relief. So, but if you wanted to condition it on that, that we would be welcome to that.
Because we're not going to negotiate the design standards here tonight, what an acceptable slope is or
right.
The curve rate is. You can do that with Stantec and with the planning board. So the only thing we're going to do now is just get... possibly give you relief from that particular section of the ordinance.
100%.
Okay.
That's exactly.
What are you looking at? A 20-foot road? Is that?
So it's 22 feet wide. It's the same, you know, just okay. To kind of put it in perspective. And I, you know, again, I'm stating this just because I think everybody has seen it, right? It's Forest View, is 22 feet wide.
I'd be all in favor of that. The other thing that would be wonderful to see, and I'm sure you don't want to have to do it, is to put a sidewalk in on one side of that road at least, so that elderly people aren't walking out in the road. Obviously, now we've got 22 feet plus 3 feet or whatever, so it does take some...
Right, and so...
It's the safety, though.
Yeah.
But I think it, from a safety standpoint and from creating a really nice situation, the sidewalk would really be a big plus. Mm.
You know, interestingly enough, we haven't designed the project yet because we're really looking for a relief on the design
right.
standards as it relates to this. But this project's layout is so unique. Like those cattle runs that I was talking to you about, they actually parallel, you know, kind of internally in this section. So our vision was that people used kind of the net because there's going to be natural trails so close to the units, that they would use those natural trails more and benefit, you know, kind of appreciate the scenery and beauty of the land instead of a more formal sidewalk along the roadway. That was our vision, and, you know, correct me if...
And I can see that, and that's wonderful for the elderly who get around easily.
Right.
For those that don't get along around so well, that may or may not be the best situation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think that's our decision to be making here, but it's a great comment.
I appreciate that.
I mean, I think also there's just the neighborly aspect of it. There's
yeah.
one thing to walk the trail, which is I love to do myself, but there's also it's nice to be able to walk to your neighbor's house, right?
Yeah.
And talk to them, and that's yeah. less likely to happen on the trail, right? So
yeah.
Maybe something to think about.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Really appreciate the feedback. Good to hear the constructive dialogue, so that's good.
Okay, so do you want to go through the 5 variance criteria?
I would love to.
All right,
yeah.
thank you.
We're going through the criteria.
Madam Chairman, do I need to read them? I mean,
I'm sorry.
For that to be entered in a record, does he need to read it, or does this document constitute the record?
We have one more, the lighting.
Right. right
yeah,
right,
well,
yeah,
I think...
There's a couple more design standards that I want to touch on. Too,
yeah,
that's
so
fine,
I think,
certainly.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah. Yeah,
you can
I hear you.
I've read this, but
I also read it.
Yeah.
Well, before we move on, I just want to make one comment about this granite curbing.
Yeah.
To me, that's just like atrociously non-rural.
Yeah, I agree.
And plus, I think it's dangerous. You know, I mean, I've ridden a bike when I was a kid. You know,
yeah.
I hit one of those things with my bike and tipped over. You know, it's dangerous. You can't hop off the curb.
Yeah.
And move. You know, some cars coming at you. You got to get off the road, and you're
yeah.
trapped there. And it's just crazy. It looks horrible. I think it's dangerous. And it's just...
What are you thinking about using?
Concrete.
Asphalt?
Bituminous.
Bituminous asphalt. Yeah,
bituminous
yeah.
concrete.
And that really...
And it holds up well. I mean, it's
it
done
holds
well.
Up, and if it doesn't, it's easy to repair.
Yeah,
and
right.
it's a private road, too. So
right.
the, any maintenance cost is
yeah,
borne
it's
internally. One other design standard I wanted to touch on is the cul-de-sac geometry. The town standard for cul-de-sacs really is intended for, you know, public streets, you know, something that the town's going to maintain. We're looking to reduce that radius. Again, I hate to keep beating on this. It's the same design that we proposed in the other project. We've proven that it's adequate for the emergency response and, you know, standard deliveries and such. And so a lot of these requests allow us to minimize the footprint of impact and maximize the conservation. I mean, it's really in respect the land. We're still going to have to go through the engineering review. We're still going to have the drainage comment that, you know, you had brought up earlier. And so those elements still have to get worked in. But if we can have less impervious cover, you know, then we can have less drainage impact. And it just allows for a much nicer rural, you know, setting project.
I assume Dean is online with the road standards that you're generally looking at. Is that a good assumption?
Up here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Get around up there, no problem.
Yeah.
So the fire trucks would have no problem if they made the... They're talking about the cul-de-sacs being smaller. The fire trucks can easily get around those
yeah.
radiuses so that...
We can up there, no problem.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, what they're proposing. I'm asking about this proposal.
Right.
It's
the interior radius of 39 feet and exterior of 61 feet.
Yeah, it's the same thing, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, the center line radius, turning radius for a fire truck is, you know, between 30 and 35. And so just to kind of put it in perspective, they could definitely make it around.
That was what I was wanting to get from
Dean. I noticed
Dean.
It did shrink from the prior design, 45 by 65 exterior, to 3961. Any reason why you shrunk that down, or wouldn't you just stay with that 45 and 65 footprint?
Well, we kept the same exact design, so maybe that it might be a misprint. We're actually copying the design from the other projects.
I mean, you speak to it here, right?
That could be,
this is under
I crossed that out. That's a misstatement. Yeah, I'm sorry. And so I was going to correct that in the presentation, but you're on top of it.
Yeah.
So the... If you would like, Madam Chair, I'm happy to go through the criteria. I mean, we've touched on some of it here, but I can briefly...
Yeah.
Well,
you
I think
know,
we should.
I wonder if it's really necessary.
You don't think it's necessary to go through?
No, I
don't.
I mean,
clearly,
I think we've discussed it
pretty
much.
Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I would just say that under the if you don't mind, under the variance not being contrary to the public interest, there was a sentence in there that's kind of mid-paragraph that says it's worth mentioning that the former layout and design, that sentence is an error, and so that should be omitted. We are copying the former design, which is there's no former design on this project. It's the design from Pineview, and that's why I wanted to cross that.
That was real convenient.
Yeah, it was.
To be able to do that.
Yeah, but we took a lot of the requests. I mean, it's a different ask because it's not a conditional use permit. It's a variance. But we took some of that terminology, and so that was actually a carryover from the prior application. So, you know, what I can say here, you know, we're asking for some relief, again, on the horizontal and vertical geometry, and we're asking for a slight modification on the roadway center line grade from 6% to 8%. It's modest.
Does that concern us for the fire department? We're good, even on a snowy day. Cool.
Yeah. You'd never notice a difference.
Yeah, it's a very modest adjustment, but again, it allows us to, and we've looked at that, it allows us to work with the land area and minimize the impact. So, you know, when it comes to the, you know, the public interest and will not be contrary to the public interest, we certainly believe a project that's designed to be safe and is designed to minimize, you know, the impacts, and is designed to, you know, improve the rural or maintain the rural character, is a design that meets the, you know, the intent of the in spirit of the regulations, and certainly this design, you know, will not change the character, will not, you know, alter the character of the neighborhood or threaten the health, safety, or welfare of the public. So that's a quick summary of the first prong. Really, that probably addresses the first two if you're looking for me to, because the second one, again, is the spirit of the ordinance. Substantial justice, we don't, you know, just simply put, that we don't think there's a gain to the general public by denying, you know, these requests. In fact, it allows us to consolidate the development, maximize separation and buffering, and so I think it would be a win-win, you know, to both parties. And so we think, you know, certainly we meet the standards for substantial justice. Values of surrounding properties, design elements generally have zero impact on, you know, neighboring property values, and it's all internal. And so we would state for the record that there's, you know, we've seen no evidence over time that any design, you know, details relating to site design would have any impact on, you know, neighboring property values. And as it relates to the hardship, you know, we don't think there's, you know, a fair and substantial relationship to these regulations, design regulations, and the in the general public purpose of the ordinance or the specific application of this to the property. Because the development proposes private roads, it will still function and provide safe travel for residents and emergency vehicles. The reduced radiuses in the cul-de-sac on the horizontal and vertical geometry is still designed appropriately for the community and the anticipated traffic, and will not create any safety issues. And for those reasons, we respectfully request that the board grant, you know, this variance from these articles. And again, you know, this relief allows us to minimize the impacts, you know, address one of the project goals, which is really, you know, maximize conservation to the extent possible. And to your point, Mr. Chivers, you know, this will get reviewed again by the planning board and, you know, their engineer. So we will go through that test as well in order to ultimately secure this relief. We believe this is a reasonable, the proposed use is a reasonable one because the proposed roadway design will adequately handle traffic and emergency vehicles. The smaller radiuses and widths will be more than sufficient and will undergo planning board, fire department, road agent, and engineering review at the next level. I also think it's important to state when it comes to reasonable that we have an existing project in town that has all of these same design standards and relief, and it's been functioning. To my knowledge, as the design engineer, there's no safety issues or concerns. We certainly have the fire chief here this evening, and it sounds like, you know, he doesn't have concerns.
You just mentioned the road agent. In fact, this is a private road.
It is a private road, but so he will have an ability to comment.
He may have some input.
Yeah. It's private.
The town is not going to maintain it in any
way. No. There's no risk to the town maintaining any of the features within this development. And so for those reasons, and all the other, you know, things that we discussed, we think that this is a reasonable request.
Okay, and so now we're on to the third one.
Yeah, the lighting design. I mean, I can be hopefully quicker with this one. You know, as I stated before, you know, this project, I've been doing this for 25 years. Rarely do we work with developers who, you know, have a vision. Like, how, you know, what do I value in my backyard? And some of the things that he mentioned to me, I do value in my backyard, you know, personally. And one of them really pertains to lighting. And he had a good point that here we are in a rural, you know, community setting. And as long as you're providing us and designing a safe project, lighting detracts from the quality of communities and the surroundings. And there's no requirement from a safety standpoint for lighting within this project. It's no different than any of the other roads in Candia, right? People can walk with a flashlight if they want to, or, you know, they can choose not to walk at night. It's a 55 and older community, and what our client is trying to provide is a setting where people can enjoy the night sky and really, you know, respect the area that we're in. And I thought that was a valuable, you know, argument. And so as a design engineer, it's the first time in 25 years I've had someone say, I really don't want lights, and let's ask for relief because I don't think there's going to be, you know, a safety issue. And when I go through the criteria from a design engineer, I don't see a safety issue here. You know, there's an ability for people to walk, you know, whenever they want in a small community. There's no through roads there. And so typically these communities with the geometry relief, especially, you know, these are slow roadways. I just drove through Pine View this evening to count the number of units that are two-story and it was a very slow ride. You know, people are on their porches, enjoying their neighbors, as some of you, you know, shared. And so you respect that, you know, that setting. That's the setting we're trying to create here. So with that vision in mind, you know, we're requesting, you know, relief from the lighting standard. Again, just like the roadway standards, we'll need to ask for relief from the planning board and from and their engineer will review it. And so if safety is a concern, we would just hope that this board would consider deferring that to an engineering review at the next level.
Are all the utilities going to be buried?
Yes.
Yeah.
And people will still have a light on their home
or
on, you know, the garage. But what we're talking about is no formal street lighting. You know, they could have a post out by their mailbox that has a light on it, maybe if they wanted, but nothing that's going to light the sky. It doesn't take much light to the point where you can't see, you know, the nightscape.
Can't see the stars. What about flares?
Yeah.
Lighting at least at the intersections of the couple of these
roads? I was thinking about the
road and
the
entrance
road
off of 27 and, you know, just at the road going out to that cul-de-sac and stuff. Yeah, I just wonder if...
Well, yeah. What we would ask...
And it doesn't have to be a great big tall pole light.
Just something so...
Something.
You can see if there's a car poking out or...
Right.
When you're getting back on High Street or...
It's just a thought. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
It doesn't take much light to wash out, you know, the values that we're trying to hold on to here.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is, you know, anybody driving would have their headlights on if it's dusk or later. And so what we're, you know, this is triggered primarily for, like, parking lots.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is, you know, we could have, and we were kind of, you know, we were hoping to address this more at a planning, you know, level when it comes to the parking. I mean, maybe there's some kind of a motion light or something that would at least go off if there's no activity. But, you know, as it pertains to, like, near the community center. You know, if somebody's coming out of the community center to a parking space, you know, there probably should be some light there.
Yeah.
But at home, at their homes, they're arriving. You know, they have their own garage. They have their own lights.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sidewalks connecting to our project, so we're not anticipating, you know, public coming in. And so people would understand the values of this development, and they'd be buying into this. And so if they valued the lights or the street lights, maybe this isn't the project for them. But
maybe not.
You know, I agree about the community center, because there's also a safety issue of being alone at night in the dark, coming out of the building that's not your house, right?
And we would have have motion lights there. Would that be fine? And so
I think the planning board can. It's an issue the planning board can discuss and work on. So let's go through the criteria.
Moving
substantial justice.
Yeah, moving through the criteria, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. You know, Farms of Candia would like to provide a housing option that values rural setting, natural beauty of land. I kind of touched on this, but for the purpose of getting it on the record, I'll go through it quickly. This includes enjoying the evening sky in your backyards, and as we all know, lighting, you know, formal lighting can erase this, and as such, we want to seek relief from this requirement. The project will provide for a safe community setting, but simply does not need to provide, you know, sight lighting along, you know, the roadways and impose on everybody's quality of life. You know, one thing that came to mind when Mr. Logan asked for relief or wanted to ask for relief here as I drove through town. And I can't find a street with lighting in town. You know? And so it kind of meets the way the community is today. And so we think because of that, it's in harmony with the, you know, the surroundings and the spirit and intent of the ordinance. So the... You know, we believe granting this variance will not threaten the health, safety, or welfare of the general public, nor will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood or injure the public rights. And for these reasons, we believe the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And I would just say we're happy to do community or at the community center and like the public space motion lights would be, you know, something that we would be happy with. That would, I think, meet the intent. The spirit of the ordinance is the second criteria, and this is really the same as the first. So, you know, I say the same things here, but lighting, you know, can be controlled by individual homeowners who get to decide when they value the light or, you know, value some outdoor lighting, and those will be separated far enough where it won't have an impact on the, you know, adjacent home. So again, you know, we believe that since we're not creating subdivision streets in a development with formal walkways, town-maintained road, it's a private setting, We would just like to have some control over that quality and market that my client's trying to target. So as such, we believe granting the variance will not threaten the health, safety, or welfare of the general public, nor will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood or injure the public rights. And so for those reasons, we believe this variance request is not contrary to the public interest. Substantial justice is done. I think it's just an easy, you know, there's no gain to the public by us requesting some relief to lighting on site. There may actually be a gain, you know, if they don't want to look out their window and see a street light in Candia. So I think it's a win-win. And I'll just, you know, say it quickly out of respect for time. There's been a lot of talking this evening. Values of surrounding properties will not be diminished. I think kind of along the same lines, there's no evidence that would suggest that lighting helps adjacent properties. And so I think certainly not having lighting would not have a detrimental impact on surrounding property values. So we think we addressed that criteria. And then very similar to the street standards as it relates to the hardship, you know, no fair and substantial relationship exists between the general public purpose of the ordinance provision and the specific application of that provision to the property. I've already touched on, you know, a lot of these items, but generally speaking, the goal of this development cannot be accomplished, you know, without, you know, this relief as far as, you know, providing that ambiance and that option and, you know, enjoying that, you know, evening setting. And the only reason for requiring formalized lighting is to address a safety element. And as a professional engineer in, you know, five states and, you know, in New Hampshire, certainly, I can't see a safety element that's required in this setting. There's going to be no children, really, that I'm aware of, unless the grandkids are, you know, visiting. It's a 55 and older development. You know, generally speaking, people in those types of developments are very respectful of their neighbors. It's a low speed, you know, through all the design parameters we're seeking relief on. I can't think of a safety need other than maybe the community building that we, you know, agreed to do motion lights on. And so because of that, we don't see that this is needed as a component of the project. And because of this, no fair and substantial relationship exists between the general public purpose of the ordinance provision and the specific application of that provision to the property. As each home will have their own ability to control lighting, the homeowners will get to decide what they value around their home. And this can only have positive impacts, in our opinion, on the community and its surroundings, as the project will be more private and hopefully less noticeable. And the last prong is the proposed use is a reasonable one. And, you know, we've made a lot of statements as it relates to lighting. I think allowing the developer to provide, really allowing the future homeowners to determine, you know, what they value, you know, around their home and in the community is reasonable. And having less lighting, as long as it's not a safety need, is reasonable. And so we, you know, want to value the quality of life within this development and be sensitive to that. And since there's no direct correlation to safety, we think that's a reasonable request.
Okay. Anybody on the board have any questions?
No.
We will take questions. Tony, go ahead.
Will there be lighting at the entrance, a sign at the entrance of the development?
There will be a street sign at the entrance of the development, but we were not planning on a light at the entrance. Even if a light was proposed at the entrance, typically they have to be internal because you can't have light pollution. And so that normally would be, you know, it would have to be internal. So we're not currently planning on a light at the entrance. But again, that could be something that the planning board or the town engineer needs or requests at the next level. So all we're really asking for this evening is for this board to let us go to that discussion. And if it's something that's of concern there, you know, we will certainly have to address it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to say anything?
Yeah, my biggest question is...
Okay, excuse me, Mr. Stewart. You have to say your name and where you live.
Oh.
Okay, and you don't have to stand, sir.
It's better to stand stretch.
Okay.
Don Sluder, live at 445 Baker Road. My only question is, okay, apparently at one time, okay, I thought he was trying to sell the Bowman's property.
We were thinking of it. One time.
And that fell through?
No, we decided to make that, to do the loop, you know, loop road, and so we wanted to keep the Bowman property in the development.
Yeah, to make this part of this development.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So the Bowman house and the Seward house will be all part of this development.
Well, we're thinking the Seward house, you know, maybe wouldn't be, so that's a different, you know,
I know, that's
issue.
A can of worms.
Yeah. Right, so, you know.
Put it bluntly. Yeah. What is the projection to do with the 90-foot right-of-way between Barton's property and Desler's property off of High Street?
We have no plans to use that.
You're just going to leave it?
At the moment, that's...
Because when I look at that plan, it looked like there was a pathway drawn in there.
We were looking at potentially a trail.
Well, I laughed at your trails because the trails were all put in by loggers. There's no natural trails on this property.
Well, there's a cattle run here, and so I think that's what you're talking about, sir. So there's two stone walls that run parallel right here, and so we're looking to utilize that for a pedestrian trail.
Okay, because at one time there was a fire road right through Bowman's all the way back to the backside of Baker Road.
Yeah.
And that's probably got grown in.
No, we've walked it. Yeah.
And we plan to keep most of that open.
Okay.
So after that first water crossing, you know, that road will stay the same.
Yeah. All right.
That's actually what this is, sir, whole thing.
So you don't plan on doing anything with this basically part of this field?
Yeah, we're just going to keep part of that field and, you know, maybe people walk out. There's not much to walk out to in High Street, so it's not like you'd want to walk out there.
Okay.
But we don't have any plans to put a road there or a driveway or anything.
Look at the wetlands.
Yeah.
But there's also a brook in the springtime that comes right from here right down to Bratton's.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's not a bad layout.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Considering what you have to work with.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my only concern with the 90-foot right away. Okay. So this will be all basically... Call it what you want, current use, open space, or whatever.
Just in the back, and then the fields would be used, you know? Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who has any questions that they or comments they'd like to make? And please state your name and where you're here.
Kate Jim, 178 New Boston Road. This sounds like a really well thought out plan. I want to say it really does.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound like a little nit, but I really don't. I think the look of bituminous coal to me, bituminous asphalt says rural. Rural is you get nothing on the side of the road.
Turn it away from
rural is Courier where you live.
Yeah.
There's a downside to the bituminous. It can come apart, and now this is a private road, so you're relying on not the road agent to go in there and patch it up pretty quickly. But for those homeowners to decide to do something about it. And, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, you know, who can see that far?
Yeah.
To me, granite does not say urban. I mean, my husband and I lived out in Pennsylvania, and we were in a pretty rural area, and the housing developments that were going up there did have granite. They didn't have sidewalks. Because that says urban, but they had granite. And granite, you know, that property is, as you've even said, it's the slopes are a little bit higher than what, you know, most developers would want to be building on, right? So, you know, the water's going to rush down. It's the bitumen, you know, we have torrential rains now. I just think that it's not a bad idea to keep granite, at least. And the look of that, to me, the look of that looks so much better when you're driving by, you know, and you see a roadway and you see the granite, and it could be smoked granite. It doesn't have to be, you know, vertical granite, and then, you know, when you get into the development, I don't know, could you then switch it to bituminous? Maybe. But I just, to me, bituminous just, I don't know, I don't think it looks good. So that's just my, and this is such a well, it's such a well thought out, it sounds like it's a really well thought out, you're trying to do everything to make it look, you know, like part of Candia. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
May I just address
yes,
that?
Yes,
I think those are, you know, really good comments, and I just want to kind of address some of the design thoughts as it pertains to, you know, the bituminous. When you look at a rural, like when you get into like a 55 and older development, you essentially, you know, you end up having closed drainage sections because it actually helps you control stormwater, and it helps you get the stormwater, you know, to the appropriate areas a little bit better. What we've found in a lot of, especially private settings, and even some municipalities like the bituminous concrete curbing, because it does wash, like it doesn't, it looks like part of the road instead of like breaks. And so when you're actually driving, you know, we work in a lot of communities where they have like scenic road standards, and they think that the bituminous curbing is more scenic because you don't focus on it. It's not a contrasting element. When you look at it from a maintenance standpoint, changing granite curbing or maintaining granite curbing is very cost prohibitive because you actually have to cut part of the roadway out in order to fix the curbing, in order to reinstall it, in order to pave. Or bituminous curbing is a lot easier to repair, and so it would actually be more cost, a better cost, you know, situation for a condo association. And to, you know, this lady's comments, which I think were very, very good questions, there's condo fees, you know, as part of an association like this. And so when it's time to do maintenance, they will have, you know, money in the coffer, if you will, you know, to do those, to do that maintenance. And so with a project like this, it's a very, very thorough review when it comes to documents like that. At the end of a local approval, if we're successful, it actually goes to the Attorney General's office, and they review, you know, these standards and make sure that, you know, everything is set up structurally appropriate. But we, again, you know, the other development has it. We're just asking. We think it would be a really good application, and it does offer a little bit more of a blend into the landscape and transition, and that's why we're asking for it here. And I don't know if you have
some. Okay. Is there any, Ron?
Yeah, I have a question. I just occurred to me. I don't see detention ponds or anything in this plan.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
I could be missing it.
No, you don't. They're not. They're not designed.
They just not designed.
Yeah.
Yet.
That's a planning.
That's a planning issue.
And so I can't design that if I don't know what the width of the road is. And
okay.
Because everything is a.
Okay.
We have definitely looked at the site and said.
So
this
it's
is,
not just hoping to run drainage into these.
Oh no, we would never be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like we'll have to mitigate all the stormwater. Again, the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services alteration of terrain permit, and most certainly Stantec, the town's review engineer, will make sure we meet,
yeah,
you know, all that criteria.
And for septic as well, I'm so
absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So anyone else? Dean?
Dean Young, not speaking as the fire chief, just as an observation. Chad mentioned this property is some of the highest point in Candia. My son's property is up the hill. It is the second highest property in Candia, behind Hall Mountains, the highest. I'd just like to speak to the lighting. There's nothing like being able to sit in his backyard with no lights and look at the sky. It's incredible because it is up high, so I would urge the board to give him that variance on lighting. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Thank you for the feedback.
Is there anybody on the Zoom that wishes to speak or has any questions?
No, I'm all set.
Jeff? No? Any questions? Okay. All right, if there are anybody on the board have any questions?
Yeah, and I don't have a question, but I would like to say that I have to agree this is really well thought out. I'm really impressed with your presentation. I think you've answered all the questions that we might have had. This is one of the most organized presentations that I've seen in a long time, and you're both to be commended in what you presented here, I think. That's
well, I think
opinion,
Mr. Logan's vision for this is the driving factor, and I commend you, sir, for...
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I know these properties well, yes. And the fact that this stuff is in the back and it's private, and but it offers, will offer the residents the ability to go out there and sit during the meteor shower and see the meteors, and to sit during the to see those beautiful northern lights that we've been able to see. It's a very well planned, well thought out development. Thank you.
We had the Elon Musk Starlink satellites. We all need to see.
Yeah,
yeah. He knows.
All right. So if there are no other questions, I will. Anybody in the audience have anything? Then once I close the hearing, there's no more comments. We will go through the five variance criteria for each of these three requests for a variance. And we'll do it tonight, and you're welcome to stay and listen to our comments. And then you'll get your decision. We'll get it out to you tomorrow or the next day. So you're definitely welcome to stay. But
The applicant's asking for three variances. You want to decide each one individually?
We have to, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the
go through the criteria?
Well, we need to say each one. So right. He needs to. Let me have so much paper here. I don't know what I'm doing.
506.
So 506-14. 506-14 is about the
maximum
is the
building
road.
Height and elderly yeah. housing project.
Right. Okay, maximum building height.
Okay.
So well. anybody have any comments or anything?
I'm comfortable with the comments that were made that the living, you could live on the first floor.
Yeah.
As long as you can live on the first floor and to not, to me, I mean, I have grandkids, and to not be allowed to live on a second floor to tell your family, you can only have like so many bedrooms, and to tell your family you got to go to a hotel because your grandkids, you know, there's no
sure.
room for you to stay
yeah.
and for your grandkids to stay is,
yeah, I agree.
It makes no sense. So...
Let's go through each of the criteria.
Okay. All right.
All right. This is section 1402C. One, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I agree it will not. This is for 506-14 for the maximum building height.
Well, I think that the applicant stated that it would be, they're more affordable and energy efficient. And if we're talking about trying to build housing that's more affordable, it's cheaper to go up than it is to go up.
Yeah.
So...
So,
board members?
Yes, so does anybody else have any questions about it? Tony, do you have any questions?
I'm all set.
Okay, so
they meet that criteria.
I need a motion to do
something. I move the board finds that the variance will not be contrary to the public interest.
Okay, we need a second.
I'll second, Keena.
Okay, all in favor?
Keena, aye.
Chimes, aye.
Zod, aye. Tony?
Davis, aye.
Okay.
Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed.
Okay, any questions? I mean, it's not gonna change the neighborhood in any way.
No,
I think
it meets all the other restrictions.
I think the spirit is that
I move on the one floor, right?
And it's in that sense, it's met, right?
Yes.
I move that they meet that criteria.
I second it.
Okay, anybody have any questions or anything? Okay, let's go through. Bill?
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye. Steinman?
Davis, aye.
Okay, the third one
is substantial
justice
is done. I move we find that substantial justice is done by granting this variance.
Okay, the justice allows for a variety. There's no public gain in having one story. So do we have a motion?
I just made it.
And I second it.
Okay. So, Bill?
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Okay.
Number four, the values of the surrounding properties are not diminished. I move that this board find that the values are not diminished by this in this variance.
I second that.
Okay, and there's no impact on the on surrounding properties, that the design enhances other properties.
Right.
Okay.
This will be an excellent contribution to the tax base.
Did you want to take a vote?
Yes, I'm ready.
Keena? Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye. Steinmetz? Okay, and hardship?
Number five, little enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. I move that we find that if we enforce that they meet this criteria.
If I could add to that point, that there would be an unreasonable financial hardship to the developers and to the owners if
right.
they were
limiting it to one story. Limiting to one story because it would decrease the ability to sell.
You're right.
Yes, and the use of a two-story house is reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Okay. So second
I'll
is
make
the motion.
A motion, or you made
he
motion.
Made the motion.
I'll second. Yep.
Okay.
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye. Steinmetz? Okay. So
I move we approve the variance under section 506-14.
Okay.
Second that.
All right. Keena seconds it.
Give him that one.
Yeah, well.
Okay. All right. Ron seconded it. Okay. Bill?
Aye. Keena, aye.
How aye.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
Chivers, aye.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Okay. The second variance was on the roads.
Right.
I think that in just looking at this whole thing, that when we grant this, we know that, or if we grant this, we know that it doesn't stop with us. That
yeah.
it's it that well, the planning board that right. the planning that we're giving them the right to go to the planning board. The
that's
planning
right.
board is going to go over this. The state is going to go over this. And so we're
right.
just giving them the right to proceed to go to the planning, to go
yeah,
to the planning.
That's important
planning.
For me because I feel less knowledgeable about the
and roads are really a planning issue.
The issues that were expressed here, right?
Yeah.
This will be...
Yep, go through the five variance criteria.
Article, section 506.18 of the ordinance, the applicant's requesting relief from the roads, access drives, and parking lot standards in the ordinance. And I, under various criteria, number one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I move that with this board finds that this variance will not be contrary to the public interest.
Second.
And that the roads are narrow, but they're narrower, but they're safe.
That's right.
Okay.
Seconded.
You did. How aye.
Okay.
Chivers aye.
Zod aye.
Steinmetz aye.
Okay.
Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. I move that this board find that the spirit is observed by granting the variance.
Any discussion? Okay. Keena?
I'll second it.
All right. Keena, aye.
How aye. Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Okay, three.
Number three, substantial justice is done. I move that this board find that substantial justice is done by granting the variance under 506.18.
Second.
Okay.
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
And number four, the values of the surrounding properties are not diminished. I move the board find that the values are not diminished by granting this variance under 506.18.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, we'll vote.
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
And number five, literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. I move we find that enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would indeed result in unnecessary hardship.
Second.
All right, any comments? All right, we'll vote.
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
So we need a motion to them. We need all five, meets all five variance criteria. So we need a motion to approve a variance.
I move we grant the variance under 506.18.
Second.
Keena, aye.
Okay.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
All right.
And the last variance they're requesting is 506.20 regarding the lighting design. Various criteria. Number one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I find that this variance, granting this variance, will not be the board find it will not be contrary to the public interest.
And if I could add to that, just that the lighting can be controlled by the individual homeowners.
Yeah, can we also add that we appreciate the addition of motion-based lighting on the community center property or properties?
We could add that as a condition to our approval.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That was a motion.
I'm sorry?
So he would like to avoid incorporating that into the motion.
What we'll make that as a condition of approval of this one.
Yes.
Okay.
When we're all done with it.
Great.
Okay,
great.
So then we're on to substantial. Okay. Wait a minute.
So we're on the. Yeah.
That's very criteria one.
We're on criteria one. So right. We haven't voted on it yet, Ron.
Right.
No, that's right.
Okay.
Right.
And Bill wants that added, that condition added to the end. So anybody else have any other comments about the first criteria?
No, I mean, do
we
do
didn't
require,
vote yet.
No, just a question. We do require lighting somewhere. I'm just not even aware myself of where we require it.
We don't.
Okay. Just
I would imagine.
Sure
I would imagine in places like the First Stop, and they probably require
insurance companies probably require.
But
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you. That was
all
for
right.
me to understand. Okay.
All right. So we're ready to vote.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill.
Kina, aye.
How aye. Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
All right, substantial justice.
Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. I move we find that the granting of variance of 50620 indeed observes the spirit of the zoning ordinance.
Second.
Any conversation? Questions? All right, we'll vote.
Kina, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
Number four, the values of the surrounding properties are not diminished. I move the board find that the values will not be diminished by granting a variance under 50620.
And that it allows for people to place their own lights. Okay.
I'll second.
Any questions? Okay, we'll vote.
Kina, aye.
How aye.
Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Madam Chair, and then
yes,
we skipped over substantial justice.
I'm sorry.
No, that was the one we just did with substantial justice.
I think Boyd just said number four, but he meant number three.
I think he means number three. That was was two. That was, is that correct, Megan? That was substantial justice. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. We're going fast.
I appreciate it.
But I appreciate you keeping this on track.
You'll have to come have another.
Okay, values of surrounding properties.
Keep us straight.
Number five.
No, we're on.
Four. All right, the values of surrounding properties are not diminished. I find that indeed granting this variance will not, I move the board find that this granting this variance will not reduce the value of the surrounding property.
Second.
Okay, and there's no evidence that the lighting helps any of the surrounding properties. And it can be annoying.
Yeah.
If you want to go out and look at the lights, so. Any other comments or questions? All right, we'll
Kina,
vote.
Kina, aye.
How aye. Chivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
And the last one.
No, literal enforcement, number four.
Literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in an unnecessary hardship. I move the board find that if we enforce these requirements, it would indeed result in unnecessary hardship.
Putting the lights would really ruin the whole.
It would.
It'd be a hardship on the people who had to look at those lights up on that hill at night.
Diminish the value of their own property.
And it reduces the rural character of our town.
Right.
Well,
that's the motion.
And I just don't see it that it's the needed component,
the
especially everybody has their own lights they control.
As a condo group, 5 years down the road, if everybody decides we really need lighting,
that's right,
they can put it in.
That's right.
You know, it's not an impossible thing to add afterwards.
Yeah.
No, but everybody can turn on their lights on their house,
right.
Or your post lights.
Well, I agree, but
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, it's not like this is cast in stone and there's no possible way to change it. If,
that was a lot of wiring, but I guess you could do it.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have underground wiring everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Boyd, your motion is to
find that the board, it's for the board to find that there would result in an unnecessary hardship by imposing this standard in 506.20.
Okay, any questions? All right, we'll vote.
How aye.
Charvis aye.
Zod aye.
Abby aye. Mr. Tony vote?
Tony voted. So now we need to have the, we need to have the, the
overall
motion to grant this variance, and this is where the condition comes in about that Bill was talking about.
Having met all the criteria of section 14.02c, I move the board grant variance under 506.20 with the condition that they install a motion detector at the community center, motion detector light at the community center as a safety precaution.
I second that.
Okay. Okay, any questions? I'll take a motion. I mean, I'll take a vote.
Kina, aye.
How aye.
Charvis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
Look at that.
Thank you very much.
Give Megan a couple days to
I move we grant the variance under 506.20, having met all the variance criteria.
Oh, thank you, Boyd. I'm sorry. I thought that's what we did.
I thought we just did.
Yeah,
I don't think so. We did? Oh, that's right.
We did it.
I think we did it.
It's all fair.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We will, it's going to take, we'll give her a couple of days, but you'll get your, can come to the office and she'll give you the paperwork, or I don't know how she handles it. She'll mail it to you or something.
I typically mail it, but if you would rather come in to grab it, that's fine as well. Either way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're
thank
welcome.
You for your presence.
Mr. Logan, thank you so much for this really wonderful plan. We're all familiar with that land, and to see the, I've read all your things, all your vision for what you want to do there.
Thank you very much.
I mean, someone could have come in there and done lots of different things, but I'm grateful that you're doing what you want to do.
Okay.
So if we so now we have to we've got to go on with our meeting.
I said that.
We've got a couple of other things to talk about. Okay.
Same side as you.
Okay, gentlemen, could I ask you
if you would
mind doing that out in the hall? We've got a couple of other things we have to do.
You let us in that yellow house.
All
the books.
They put lighting here. I'll just take my BB gun and shoot them out.
All right, so.
I don't want to look out my backyard and see lights.
Area.
Those people enjoy it in a nice way.
Okay, we have to.
Got me curious. I might go up on these trails and see what's in there.
This is like an amazing road. So this is built by the government. This is kind of lived here, had some connections. And he got them to build this like road all the way back to Baker Road. And he got them to dig that hall.
Is it okay to go back there now?
Yeah, you can go back there. Yeah. I wouldn't drive back there. I got stuck to back there last year. But I mean, once it dries out,
ATV or
you can walk. Or take an ATV back.
I have an ATV right around my property there.
You can take it up.
Trail.
Did you? Yeah. So we spent like all last summer. We cut like about 3 miles of trail.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of trails back here. Yeah. We're not gonna cut.
I know why you're not saying that.
Use a jet breaker. How did you carve it out?
Chainsaws and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just cut down little trees. Yeah. I mean, I had two guys working.
That's what I did.
2 months.
2 years.
Yeah.
35
because it was just junk.
Yeah, right.
They'd already
I still have my property. Did they walk here too?
Okay, so this is all logged about 12 years ago, I think, and this has been like a maintained
forest.
Well, this has like some spectacular.
Oh, that's great. That's
really cool. They got this old abandoned sawmill back there.
I'm sorry, Mr. Logan. We would love to talk to you if we got other business we have to do.
This is right next door.
But again, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You did a great job. Thank you.
Do some minutes.
This will be a real
you can stay for this.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right, thanks. All right.
Good job.
Thanks for your support there. Okay, thanks, you guys.
Okay.
So what, are you open yet?
We are.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I'll be over soon.
Okay.
Yep.
We have to review. We have minutes that we have to
review. Do you guys
want to
keep this for any reason? I can't stop it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The world might be.
Okay, we have to review the minutes of March 25th, and there's something that I know that I wanted to
Did you get the
change.
February minutes, too?
Yeah, there's two sets of minutes.
There's two sets of minutes, yeah. Am I ahead?
February, March.
There. February. And on the February minutes, on line, and I've already talked to Megan, and she's going to make the correction. On line 29, we were talking about the zoning ordinance. So the zoning ordinance says it allows 20 square feet for public, institutional, and then the three words that made it being able to be put on that housing development are or other permitted uses. And because even though that, when I asked the chairman of the planning board, he said, no, that is not what they meant. Then I said, you need to change it because this is what it says, and that is a permitted use. And that's why we overrode the building inspector, because that is a permitted use.
But it does mention right here, it is a permitted use.
No, but it's, but it says, but, because, no, it's permitted uses. Oh, maybe you put it in, but the...
No, right there, on the sentence before it, limits for senior housing, a permitted use.
And the ordinance says specifically that if you look at the sign ordinance, it says for homes... you're limited to so many square feet, and for a business, you're limited to so many square feet. And let me see, the sign ordinance is...
what are you trying to do, amend the minutes?
Yes, I'm trying to amend the...
amend it.
I did. But I'm just trying to... you don't understand. I'm trying to explain to you why we have to amend it. Because the reason we could grant that variance, and it doesn't say here, is that... because the relevant regulation allows 20 square feet for public, institutional,
or other permitted uses. You're fine.
Those three words were the words that allowed us to grant them sign, and that's not there. So, and I talked to Megan, and so she's going to make that change. So if we have any questions or comments, otherwise I'll entertain a motion to approve that.
I move we approve the minutes as amended.
A second?
Second.
Okay, Keena seconded. Any comments? Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? It's passed. Okay, the next thing we have to do, and it says, any other matters that come before the board?
How about the March 25th meeting?
March minutes.
Oh.
I move we approve the March 25th minutes as presented.
Pardon me? We just did the March meeting. It's the February meeting.
Yeah.
I thought we just did the February.
We just did February.
We just did February.
Yes. We just did February. March.
Yeah, so the March you're right in front. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Keena was absent.
He was, that's right, not excused, but absent. Well,
yeah.
There's no excuse to me, apparently.
Okay. So do we have any questions or comments about the March 25th minutes? Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve the March 25th
minutes. Motion to approve the minutes of March
Second.
Okay. Then the last matter that we...
Let's get to vote.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm tired.
You're in a rush.
I know. I know. So let's vote. Bill?
Yes.
Voting.
Oh, aye.
Aye.
Zod, aye. Tony?
David, aye.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So now we have another question that's come before us. We... Our meeting in May, in May is on the 27th, which is the day after Memorial Day, and there are some conflicts with that, and so we've done some research and decided, and would like to ask if, in fact, the board would be willing to meet on the 6th. We would have our May meeting on the 6th. We have two applicants. We've contacted both applicants. Both applicants can come on the 6th. That would be in 2 weeks. But it would also mean that we'd have we wouldn't have to interrupt our Memorial Day plans, and we'd have a longer time. So
you
perhaps we'd get more folks to come as well.
Yes.
It's more convenient, not tied into a...
Right. That's correct. That's correct. So what we do is our meeting would be 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Instead of at the end of May, and both applicants can be here at that time.
Okay, I move we move that meeting to May 6th.
Okay, do we have a second? Ron seconds.
Aye.
Kina, aye.
Aye. Tyra's aye.
Zod, aye. Steinmetz? Okay. Do we have any other business to come before our board?
Does the board need to decide on what to do with the minutes for the closed session?
I don't think that minutes for 91A that are legal. We can decide to
seal them.
Don't
worry about it.
I think we can do a sealing because they are privileged information. So the meeting that we had, there will be minutes from that meeting, but the meeting
it's
that we had
is
privileged
so
information.
Do you want a motion to seal those minutes?
We need a motion to seal those minutes.
Seal the minutes from the non-public meeting that was held today.
Could I just amend that to be because they are attorney, it was an attorney-client privilege communication.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so is there... Thank you, Will, for reminding us of that.
Yep.
And is there anything else coming before the board? Megan?
I have an updated printout of all the zoning ordinances.
Yeah. Oh, yes, thank you.
A little sticky note saying which pages are
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I sent you an email this afternoon.
Yeah.
I knew I already did it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's awesome. So I'll just change it and give you back your folder.
Okay.
I'll put it in my notebook. All right, thank you. And she had that out like days after the...
Yeah.
Awesome.
She is on it.
Okay.
So I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay, you're stuck here, buddy.